Hi everyone, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Chris Reisner. Today I'm joined by two special guests. We've got, of course, again, Nathan Totten.
Again.
Yes, again.
Thank you.
And our really special guest is Michelle. Yeah.
More special than him.
Yeah, definitely more special. We heard already, you know, what Nathan does. Nathan, would you like to just kind of recap and tell people what you do again?
So I work on the team that built the new Azure preview portal. Building some of the stuff out for the Create and Gallery that we explored in the last show. I do a few other things along those lines, but I think today we're going to take a little deeper dive into all of the portal.
Great. And Michelle, would you like to tell everybody as well kind of what you do?
Yeah, I work with Nathan on the same
stuff. You're my boss.
I'm sorry you work with Nathan. I'm so sorry.
No, I enjoy working with him quite a bit.
Great. Okay. Well, before we actually go into the main segment, we're actually going to get started and go over a little bit of news. So this is just going to be a bit of a recap over some of the stuff we saw at Build was. So if you didn't have a chance to watch everything that was announced at Build, we're going to go through a good recap of that stuff today. So first of all, for websites, SSL is now included at no additional charge in standard tiers. So previously
yes.
there was a charge.
That's pretty good.
No charge now. It's really awesome.
For both, you get one IP-based one, right? And then five SNIs.
That's right.
Good deal.
So next, websites are now supported by Traffic Manager. So previously, Traffic Manager, you could pick to use cloud services and VMs. Now you can do websites as well. So really awesome for managing your traffic between whether it's countries and data centers or however you want to do it. Also with websites, you can now actually host Java websites pretty easily inside of Windows Azure or Microsoft Azure websites.
Yeah.
From the portal, it's actually really easy to deploy stuff like Tomcat, so really awesome stuff there. Some more stuff with Azure or with websites, support for wildcard, DNS, and SSL certificates. There's also a new tier, which is basic, and that's kind of between the shared and the standard or standard tier. So moving on to virtual machines, so there's some new tooling inside of Visual Studio. For example, you can now actually create virtual machines from inside of Visual Studio. That's pretty cool. Also, for virtual machines, we can now integrate with Puppet and Chef. So really cool ways to actually automate and the configuration of your VM. So a lot of people are using these, and now there's really great integration with our virtual machines. Again, with virtual machines, we've got a basic tier now, so another tier inside the virtual machine options. The general availability of Azure Virtual Network Dynamic Routing VPN Gateway and Point-of-Site VPN. So
what the heck is that?
That is a mouthful. Basically, though, if you're doing connectivity between on-premise and Azure, you know, this stuff is GA now, so you can use it.
Cool.
Mobile services. Somewhat more tooling inside of Visual Studio, and then another cool feature, which is our .NET backend. So previously, you were building a mobile service backend in JavaScript. Now you have the choice between that and .NET.
And that includes, I think, like a richer debugging experience.
It does.
Like that.
You can actually
pretty nice.
Yep. You can actually run and debug locally or attach to the mobile service on the server. Very.
That
cool.
I think is also available with VMs to some extent.
Yes, that was actually one of the things was remote debugging of VMs without having to install Visual Studio. I remember people were
very excited,
shouting from the rooftop
awesome,
when that happened. Yes.
Nothing like installing Visual Studio on a prod server.
Absolutely. Also for mobile services, there's a preview of offline support. So now if you're building occasionally offline devices, there's support for doing syncing. Really awesome stuff there. Also support for Azure Active Directory single sign-on. For notification hubs, we've expanded the device support to include Kindle. So if you need to push notifications down to Kindles, you can do that. And there's also Visual Studio tooling for notification hubs too. So autoscale, general availability of autoscale. So now it's prime time. It's ready for everybody to use. Really awesome stuff. Also general availability of read access geo redundant storage. Also general availability of Azure AD Premium. Let's see, tons of stuff here. public preview of the Azure Rights Management Service as part of Active Directory. Pretty cool stuff. The scheduler, general availability of that. Also a new feature called automation, which kind of helps you automate configuration of different things within Azure. And I think we're getting pretty close to that. That's going to be it. You know, there's some other smaller stuff that came out of Build, but tons of really awesome features ready for you to go check out and use.
And of course, the new portal.
And of course, the new portal, which is actually what we're going to highlight today. And I think it's looking really great, so I'm excited to see it. Let's go ahead and pause for a second while we switch on over.
Yep.
And now we're pleased to bring you our feature presentation.
So Vishal, the first thing I want to ask though is, how do people get to the new portal?
Oh, it's just portal.azure.com.
Couldn't be much easier than that. Yes. Awesome. All right, let's go ahead and dive in and actually take a look at it.
Yes, I think we released it just now at Build, and I think that I want to just give you a quick overview of what those things are so that you get an idea, orient yourself a little bit. So we call this as your start board, 100% customizable. You can move things around, resize it. So I can basically right-click over here, hit customize. I want to nail that point home that it is completely customizable and you can make it your own. So we will probably do a little bit of that jugglery later, but I can do that. I can basically make it white again. And I can just say, I'm done customizing. So you can just make this styles your own.
All right, so if you're familiar with like the Windows 8 start screen, it's gonna be a similar sort of concept where you can customize to basically show what you wanna see.
Whatever you wanna see, exactly. on the left side, you see what we call as hubs. This is our jump bar, and hubs are all the horizontal services which are shared across all the services of Azure. So things like notifications are something which we would basically, any service in Azure would just basically send notifications in the same place. Same thing with browse, where you can actually like look at your different things. And then there is billing, where you can see all the billing. And journeys is an interesting piece, which we'll illustrate by demonstration. So if you click over here, you see there's nothing over here. It's our favorite alien. But if I click over here, for instance, I can take a tour. So this thing which you see over here is a blade.
Okay.
Right, and you can click on things inside blades to launch more blades.
Okay.
And when you launch more blades, then those becomes journeys, where you can actually dive through into the details. And in between, let's say, for instance, you got a notification and you care to take a look at it. Like I can click on a notification and say, oh, let me take a look at that notification and jump into it. Then at that point of time, I have two journeys running in parallel. So I can then go to the journeys hub and shift between the two journeys.
So even if you've got, you know, one set of blades and you hop over to it, you can hop over easily to another set of blades you have open, so you have to back all the way out and then go back.
Yes. And if you're doing work, like for example, if you're creating a site or configuring a site, like you wouldn't have to save or whatever. Your kind of state is saved between the two of those. So you can pick up right where you left off.
Great.
It's essentially our alt tab for the cloud.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. So that's convenient.
That was Nathan's too, by the way.
Yes, very exciting.
Yes.
Very good. Cool.
So that was journeys, a little bit of orientation of that. For the first time, we actually integrated billing inside inside the portal, which is kind of a big deal. In one way, if you think about it, there are services which are coming from several different facets pulled into a single place. One is billing, which was a separate portal earlier. There was Azure, which was a separate portal. There were pieces of Visual Studio Online, which are also coming down over here. And then there are things from third parties like ClearDB and MySQL, which are also coming in. So essentially, like we are getting all the services come down to you in a single place. That's kind of the intent.
So you mentioned, you know, there was a bunch of these things in other portals. Is that kind of one of the motivations of building this new portal, was that we can kind of give you one interface for everything?
Well, to some extent, it was, but it actually did not start exactly that way. The intent was more about like, we started thinking that when we build apps, like I write apps, you all write apps.
Sure.
We use so many different services across the board, right? Like if you're hosting your stuff in GitHub, then you have GitHub. Some places have Basecamp for putting your files. Then you have like Asana for your work items or whatever. Like for non-Microsoft stack. In Microsoft stack, you have TFS and like, you know, Azure and all these things. And the thing is that as a single app owner, I have to go jump around everywhere to look at the view of my app. And we basically wanted to think about like if you reimagine the world around that person's app, how would the world look like? And when we started thinking about like let's design a portal which would actually support cloud apps as a first class citizens, what would you come up? And that's the reason why we came up with the new portal. And also we came up with a whole new layer below it, which is what we called as Azure Resource Manager. Which also, and there's a notion of a resource group, which is a group of resource acting together in harmony as an app. So it's not just, you know, the UI. It's also the back end and everything replumbed to imagine from an app-centric standpoint.
Okay.
So that is how, that's probably the primary motivation. And then you basically see all the other services coming in.
Okay. And I think in the last time Nathan was on the show, we talked a little bit about the resource group. Can we like dive in and see what a resource group looks like?
Yes, sure. And I think just before this talk, we created this new resource group called Cloud Cover.
cloud cover was available. You stole our name.
Yes, we stole. I can sell it back to you in case
I'm going to have to call Nick up and tell him to make some more money to buy that for us.
That's right. So we will probably just browse and look at the resource groups. So when I click on the resource groups, you can see all these resource groups which I actually have, and cloud cover being one of them, right?
Yep.
If I right click and pin to the start board, that's what I'm going to get.
Okay. Right?
So I'll just basically click on that one and jump into it. So this is essentially right now, it has a view of showing you how many resources are in here, right? We call this as a resource map, right? Where I'm seeing that cloud cover is the resource group. I have the website called cloud cover in it, a DB for cloud cover DB in it. And then it actually shows all the sub resources which make up these resources and what are the costs associated with it. Now, obviously there is no data available because we just created it.
Sure.
Right? But otherwise you can click on the resource map. You can see all this list of resources. There are only two, but if you had 100, you could see 100, you can search them, and from any point in time, just dive into them. Mm-hmm. So I could go into the website, which we'll go in a second. And then over here, you can actually see any events which are happening for your resource group as a whole. Right, and then some alert rules, if there are any alerts which are set up. So from here, that is essentially like at a very high level, this is the nascent concept of resource group, which we are gonna like make bigger and bigger.
Sure.
Like you can imagine, you can see monitoring over the entire space, or whatever you think you want to do for your app, you will eventually go ahead and see that over here.
Okay.
And this screen, as with the start screen, the resource group blade, all the other blades are all customizable too. So over time, you know, as you're building up your application, for example, if you wanted to see, like, you know, maybe we add like a list of like TFS or VSO bugs or something, you know, maybe you can pin that right to the resource group blade. Like, so you can imagine a, like customization based on what your application needs, what you need as a developer.
So what we're looking at is everything's going to be more or less customizable to show you exactly what you want to see.
Exactly.
Great.
So what we can also do is that we can actually go and drill down into resources. So let me click on this website to drill into that website itself. And now you can see that I can see a side-by-side view of my resource group as an app and a website right next to it, right? And I can drill into the DB and actually see the DB right next to it too.
Okay.
And if you actually have, we don't have that much resolution on the screen, but you can imagine you can actually compare all of your resources right next to each other and see what's going on in each one of them.
Okay. And this would be an example of a journey right here that I can, you know,
yes,
do the
yes,
go
this,
back and forth.
This would be an example of a journey, and it would be an example of a journey that you can switch. Like right now, I have just that journey.
Right.
But if I basically had other journeys, which I wouldn't have closed them, then I could switch between them and this one.
Great.
So the next thing that we can probably take a look at is that if you look across all of these, there are some consistent things that you see, like quick start and properties, right? So if you're new to any one of these things, what we want to encourage you to do is that always click quick start. That is going to tell you enough interesting things about that concept in case you do not know about it. So like if I go down over here, like there is a hosting plan, right? This thing is attached to a hosting plan. And if I click on a hosting plan, then a hosting plan blade comes up. And hosting plan is essentially a container. That's another concept which I would like to explain over here, that it allows us to put multiple websites inside a single, in a way, serverish kind of thing, which you can scale independently so that all of your websites get the same benefit. Okay. So you can take hosting plan and you can like basically make it into an extra large server. All the websites inside it would get that advantage. So that's essentially what a hosting plan is. And again, if you did not know much about it, you can click on it and then you can just click on quick start. You basically will get this blue standard blade, which is similar to Tour and Learning Blades. And you can just basically say, what is a web hosting plan? How do I manage it? And stuff like that. So there's some kind of learning kind of integrated inside the portal as well. So like if you do not know, you should be able to like just get onto it pretty easily.
Great. Now, if you go into the learning area there, does that explain things in the portal, or is that going to take you off to a documentation site?
It at this point in time, it takes you to a documentation site.
Okay.
So it just basically is usually taking you to MSDN or TechNet or wherever it is relevant.
So stuff people that are using Azure are already familiar with Sam.
Yep.
Great. So what other sort of information is there in the website blade?
So we talked about the quick start. The next thing which is worth noting is properties. So mm-hmm. when you click on properties, you actually see the list of all the properties which are associated with your website. And a lot of these things are, you know, copyable. So if you want to copy and you know, paste, you can do that.
Okay.
Some of the things like URLs and stuff like that are good to just go over here and copy.
And that's consistent in all the, it's not just websites, like you can do that for resource groups or,
exactly.
or SQL
yeah,
databases.
Yeah.
So that's kind of your one place to get to all that, you know, whether it's your subscription ID, your resource ID, anything like that.
Okay. Is that where we're also gonna see like connection strings and keys and things like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, storage, yeah, keys, things like that. Yep, absolutely.
Great.
Right. There is also other place which we will talk about as we go down the website blade. So the other thing is that these are monitoring parts. So point to note over here is that the top thing which you see summary, we call this as a lens. And these are all different parts or tiles inside that lens, which mm-hmm. is a group of things which contributes to summary. The next section is monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
And in monitoring, we have got request and HTTP server errors, analytics, and those three things which you actually see, web test, sessions, and analytics, which are not lighted up right now.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why they are not lighted up right now is because we need to get the analytics key from App Insights. If you know, VSO App Insights is another service which
yep.
you use, and some people actually like use, say, Google Analytics, or if they basically use Kissmetrics or whatever of those sorts, this is probably better, so you should try it out. But you can click on that, and then like, you know, you very easily can get the exact piece of code and instructions which you actually need. So like, for instance, this is the code which I just need to go ahead and copy paste into my layouts HTML or like, you know, the root of my site.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the site starts getting traffic, it will start recording traffic and it will start showing up over here.
Great.
And it will do things like, you know, sessions today and things like that. If we see one of the existing sites, then we will dive into the details.
Okay.
The other piece over here is web tests. So if you want to visualize how people view your site from outside, you can create tests. And the tests could be of a bunch of different types. Like for instance, you can say, ping my site from Amsterdam every 2 hours. And if it goes down, then tell me,
sure.
right? Or a bunch of other interesting things which you can actually construct. So that is what this thing actually does. Like for instance, you know, give your test a name, like what kind of criteria you want and stuff of that nature.
Great.
So that is test. Then the next portion is about usage
mm-hmm.
and how much use are you doing of the servers right now, how can you scale them, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So this actually just talks to you about file system storage. There are quotas, since this is a free site that I have, it basically has more quotas than what a shared site would probably have. Like
mm-hmm.
there's a limit on the amount of data that you can get in, get out, and you know the CPU clock time that you can have. So this is a fresh site, there is nothing which
Great.
Is being used, but you can actually take a look at your quotas in a day zero state over here.
That's really great how, you know, you can click on any of these small little bits and you get a whole blade full of information related to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, see, the three pieces which you see over here, data out, CPU, and memory, is blown out
further.
And that's the whole idea of this journey, where you actually like start by showing the most critical information at the beginning, and then as you go, you can keep drilling down and down and down.
Great.
And of
right.
course, as we mentioned, customizable, and you could even pin one of these parts, which like say you want to actually keep track of your quota, you could pin that
yeah.
to the start board and actually then have that right away.
That
so
is
if that was
as
like
simple
your
as
most,
that.
If that right. was something you were really interested in, then you could just have that right there all the time.
So
right.
it says quotas, cloud cover plan is now mm-hmm. on my start board, right?
Awesome.
So like that's how easy you could go and do that. The next thing is, again, this is the current spend. It says no data
mm-hmm.
because the site is not consuming any money at all.
Sure.
But as soon as you basically start using the site, it will start showing that this site consumes X amount of dollars.
Okay, great.
Similarly, there are pricing tiers. Right now, we've basically like taken free. We, in particularly, have got great feedback about this, so I want to talk a little bit about just this aspect of it, that what we have over here. So right now, I'm on a free light traffic plan, right? It just has storage and it has nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if I decide that I need to have a custom domain for it, like I have cloudcover.azurewebsites.net, what if I want cloudcover.com? Then I would basically like move down to this particular level, right, which is shared light traffic.
Okay.
And we made these cards such that you can actually compare and contrast as to like what do you want and how do you want it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for instance, all these other features, which is like storage or custom domain and SSL or autoscale or backup or stuff like that, you can actually compare them and figure out what is the right thing for you so that it is very transparent. And here, for instance, this pricing is also pulled in real time from billing backend based on your subscription information. So for instance, if you're an enterprise customer and you have a big coverage which basically says, oh, all of my enterprise is going to get websites for this price. Mm-hmm. That's the price you will see over
prepaid
here, depending
accounts,
on
things like that. Yeah, so it's not just a generic, it's actually your price, what it will actually cost.
Yeah, you. Awesome.
So I think that those are the kind of things which you can actually compare. For instance, scaling this up is really like as silly as you cannot even imagine. Hopefully, let me take this, which I'll immediately go down back again from $178. But I could click that with like 4 cores, 8 gig RAMs, and like all these fancy schmancy stuff. Select that, and then like, boom.
CloudCover.com would definitely need a site of that power.
Yeah, so
it's immensely popular.
It's just moved. But till we don't put content inside it, let's just basically go and like make it free again, because it's going to like charge
you.
You
just don't want to get that bill.
I don't want to get that bill.
For this demo.
Yes.
We'll just send it to Nick. It'll be okay.
Yes, that's correct. Can you please approve that? It was that easy to scale up and scale down. But most of the time, what you want to do is that you don't want to do this manually.
Sure.
Right? You want to do the scaling process just completely automated, mm-hmm. which is, and you were just talking about the fact that auto scale is now GA.
Yep.
That is right over here. So you can actually go over here. You can see the history of instances. There is nothing. And then I can go and start saying, I want to make this performance-based auto scale.
Now that you downgraded to the free plan, you don't get auto scale, though. So.
That is true. That is true. But it's as simple as just basically saying performance-based, and I can say when the CPU goes above this particular thing, increase my instance. When CPU goes down, decrease my instance.
So, right.
That's how simple that piece is. Then the next portion that you see is operations, where you can actually like keep track of how many things are happening, what is happening across the board. And that is where events in last week, which right now we just created the site. So that's essentially the event which has really happened, which is an update of a site. And then after that, what else is interesting?
Streaming logs in real time.
Streaming logs is actually this was actually a fun thing. It's a good story, because what was happening is that when we were imagining this for the first time, we just basically we were drawing in PowerPoint, essentially we were just basically sitting and saying, oh, wouldn't it be cool in case we could do this? And we would just draw it. Some engineer portion of us would wake up and say, you're drawing it, but we'll have to build it someday. But we just drew, and we basically said, oh, streaming log, wouldn't it be nice in case I could just basically have like a full screen streaming log on my site? And you have it now. You basically just, we don't have an application log configured because, again, it is a new site, but the standard application trace logging or information logging you do.
Which is the same thing you can do today with the CLI commands or anything like that.
This is great, though, because I never remember what the command is to do that.
Yeah, once you basically instrument your site, you would just basically come in over here, make this full screen like that, and then just not worry about it. It will just keep streaming logs.
Great.
So there is streaming logs, which is interesting. What else is interesting over here? You can download your logs from the diagnostic logs if you want. This is everyone's favorite feature, which is the console. And we basically got our ASCII Azure art over here again.
Very cool.
And you can actually do fancy stuff over here. So you can actually do things like what? Like you can do dir. You can look at the list of sites. You can actually go and do hostingstart.html is the standard file which comes with this. If you want to get content off it, you can actually do it by just doing type, or you can actually execute a PowerShell command. So you can actually do PowerShell and say get content. What is nice about it is that we've seen people do pretty awesome stuff with the console already. What they have done is that they've created EXEs and dropped them on their site, right? And since the console runs under the context of your site, you can actually run EXEs and do funky stuff. So for instance, if you want to do some cleanup of your website and you basically have a EXE which basically goes through your user logs and cleans them up, all that kind of stuff, we had not imagined people will do all that stuff, but as we started seeing, oh, I wrote a custom EXE and I'm using it from the console. Sure. So
awesome.
So those things
definitely a good practice in production environment.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
You always need to have a backup. Then there are deployment slots, web jobs, and backup. We can talk about it really, really quickly. What deployment slots are is that we know that we do not want to always go to production mm-hmm. by default. You want to actually go to staging, test it out, and then flip to production. That's essentially what deployment slots in simplest fashion are. You create a deployment slot, it actually creates a site, which is almost a full functional site behind mm-hmm. the scenes, and then it allows you to swap whenever you're ready, okay. right? Web jobs is also interesting, just like it allows you to run backend jobs. Like you want to create thumbnails out of your bigger images, mm-hmm. you do that behind the scenes on web jobs.
Great.
And backups is backups. Basically, it takes backups of your site.
Always an important thing.
Yes. Then comes deployment, and setup continuous deployment is very, very, very useful thing to do. We want everyone to probably go and try it. I'll not go through the entire process, but worth showing that we have Visual Studio Online and local Git repository available right now. Mm-hmm. So you can go to Visual Studio Online and like have a team project and like have like, you know, Git repository inside that team project, check in sources, and as soon as sources go in, it can deploy. You can do that same thing with GitHub, with CodePlex, with Bitbucket, or other any random external repository, which is like if you have a URL to that repository, mm-hmm. it can just take from any public URL and come down. And Dropbox is also pretty cool just by designating one Dropbox folder where you're collaborating with your friends, and then like mm-hmm. as soon as the folder updates, like the site updates. And the designers in our community love this because they are like just going and fiddling around and want to show people, oh, this, how does this look like? And they just drop files in the Dropbox and it just shows up.
Great.
Yeah, go ahead, Nick.
So yeah, I think we support, and this is an experience we have today in the current portal, of course, but I think like one of the really cool things, if we were to select Visual Studio integration, is now we're in a single portal. We would actually be able to set up our continuous integration to Visual Studio, but then we could go and like log bugs and actually edit files and things like that from right within the same portal. So
great.
I think like what do you want to go and like actually let's yeah. see how our integrated Visual Studio experience is.
Yeah,
in this
it would be actually
well.
It would be cool to go ahead and see. So the browse team projects basically allows me to look at the team projects. Now, this is one of the team projects that we were using in the Build conference. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, the clip meme, and it basically has got a bunch of contact. Now, you can see that this actually talks about the team project actually has information about how many commits mm-hmm. have happened. So this is the code portion of it. I can click on commits, and I can go and look at how many commits were made by the team and how many were made by me. I could click on that exact commit and find out who all made the commits, what were the changes, mm-hmm. and then go down and look at probably the commit that Benny made last time we went down and see like what are the changes that he actually made to those things. So if I click on web config, then it can go and open that exact thing and actually show me the diff view
wow.
between what was actually edited, created first, and then like created later. At this point in time, I don't think that there were any significant changes that he made over here which are showing up, but it actually shows you a comparison between the two files. And if we wanted to actually go adventurous and like make a change ourselves mm-hmm. while we are over here, then we also have Visual Studio Online integration, which actually allows me to go and make a change right inside the browser itself. So I can go and click on code. So here I can go and like do browse, and let's just open this clip meme, and let's take a script. And now this is definitely, so this is an AngularJS app, so you can see like there are app and controllers and stuff like that. So I can click on main.js. So and at this point in time, you know, I can go ahead and hit edit and go ahead and start coding, like probably say alert and type something. And then once I'm done with this particular change, when I start committing it, so hello.
Hello.
Do that, and you actually get full fidelity code completion also on this particular.
And IntelliSense everything, yeah right there in the browser.
So then I can go ahead and hit commit. And
this
then
is committing since this is a Git repo. We're actually doing a Git commit. Right
yes,
on
this
here.
This is actually going to happen. I do not really want to make this change because I'm working with my friend on this particular one. So, but if I make a commit, it would actually like start triggering a deployment.
Great.
Let me do some like inert changes just for fun. and then make a, that might probably be fine by himself.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, and then just click OK. That will actually trigger commit. So you can see that the commit was made. Mm-hmm. I can see the Git commit ID. And like, you know, here the commit was successfully made.
Great.
Already. Now what is cool is that I can actually go back again to the list of commits, and within some time I'm gonna see that commit, which is my commit, which I just made, right?
Cool.
And so of course pull from Git, and then if you had continuous deployment set up, obviously that would trigger an immediate deployment.
Yeah,
so
which actually
everything right there in one
which
interface.
Actually we have. So like in this situation, the deployment will start happening in just a bit. The deployment will kick off, and what Nate was saying, it would just go ahead and like fire. It also shows you the list of the deployments which we had triggered before, and who had requested them, and how the build would actually happen. So all of those things are already here. There are work items too, which is like, this is our backlog, right? And I can see a list of items which are assigned to a bunch of people, right, means add comments to source core. There, we added comment to source core, so I can just go and like mark that as completed and like save that, and that would just basically like get saved, right?
Great. Cool.
So a full, more or less, like, you know, work items, deployments, bills, and I think
source, everything.
There, right in the new portal.
Of those things are right over here.
Very cool. So we're running a little bit of time, and the last question I wanted to ask about is if you could tell us a little bit about some of the technologies you guys use to actually build the new portal.
Yeah. Yeah, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So it's somewhat of a complicated application, but it's actually one of the challenges we had with the first Azure portal is everything was actually in one essentially monolithic app. So when we needed to update, say, the website portion, we had kind of one massive deployment. So we've broken this down now into different pieces. So we actually have separated kind of the core of it, which we call the shell framework, into kind of its own application. And then each of the parts, Visual Studio, ClearDB, the websites, things are all extensions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all a single page, you know, rich application. It's actually built using Knockout.js, you know, obviously standard libraries, jQuery, things like that. Of course, we've built a lot of our own frameworks. You know, besides Knockout, we're not using any of the, you know, standard MVC or anything like Angular or anything frameworks, but we've built up a lot of it ourselves to kind of support this. And the hope, really, from a customer standpoint, the idea with this is that it should allow us to actually iterate even faster. So rather than that one, you know, large application that needs to be deployed, you know, even though we were updating it pretty quickly every 3 weeks, you know, now we can actually enable different teams to do different updates in different cadences, which hopefully will allow us to deliver experiences even faster to the end users.
Awesome. And that piece of it is worth thinking about. That what we have really done is that you see portal.azure.com, it is actually hosted in a single place, right?
Mm-hmm.
But visualstudio.com is hosted in some other place, right? And ClearDB, which actually does MySQL, is hosted in some other place. Mm-hmm. Billing is hosted in some other place. So all of this content is actually coming in and joined. While these are all hosted in a separate place, they all come in. And this blade, for instance, is actually coming from visualstudio.com, right? So there are those kind of things which I think was quite challenging to just make browser behave like the way we wanted it to behave.
Sure.
And Knockout stood up to that particular thing quite well. We use less extensively.
Mm-hmm. Right,
all open
all
source
the cool
stuff, like
open source things. Yeah.
Very cool.
But I think, you know, what we can. I think there's probably you could do whole many hours on like how we built it, and I'm sure people are interested. Like one of the really cool things that we actually did is, you know, it's pretty easy to build a composable website when you're just like maybe giving someone an iframe to plug in their HTML content.
Sure.
We didn't want to build something that was really, you know, that allowed for like mixed experiences that are kind of inconsistent experiences, like maybe an iframe doesn't load and you get just like a broken box or something like that.
Sure.
So we really kind of, everything that you're seeing is actually in a single page. The main shell actually renders all the HTML and everything. The extensions are really just pumping templates and
view models,
and scripts, and view models. Yeah, so
okay.
Which really allows us to build a very consistent, an application that feels like a single whole application, but really allows, like, again, lots of stuff hosted in lots of different places and kind of all pulling in.
Very cool.
This is the same point about like third parties can pull in. Like if we want in the future, we would love to have n number of people who would want to contribute and build their service and sell their service via Azure and like contribute to that larger ecosystem. They can go ahead and create their pieces too, and that will just look very, very similar to like a completely different teams, two sitting together, blending in their tiles from two different places, all coming. They can do that because we have a good programming model and an SDK coming out eventually, which will allow you to just basically say, I want to create a blade and I want to create a tile. And that tile should have like five sizes. And like once it goes over here on the start board, it should look in a certain way.
Sure.
Like Nate was saying, if we start going down the path of like, how did we build this and how you can build into it, that's like a whole 1 hour conversation.
I think the key for that is when you're talking about third parties, we don't have a separate SDK or anything that's essentially, I mean, it's all kind of private now, but for example, ClearDB, when they're building their MySQL extension, they have the exact same ability, they can code the exact same type of experience that an internal Microsoft team could. So it allows, again, everyone to build these very rich experiences inside of the portal.
Very cool. Well, thank you guys again for coming on. It's so awesome to see the new portal and just all the different cool things you can do with it. So Vishal, Nathan, thanks for coming on. Thanks for showing us the portal.
Yeah.
As always, everyone, please follow us at the Cloud Cover Show. Nathan, do you have a Twitter handle?
Of course,
that's perfect. There you go.
Yes,
Vishal? Mine is Vishal R. Joshi.
There you go. All right.
It'll look magical when they.
R is for my dad, so that's a plug. Vishal R. Joshi.
Okay. Very good. He'll be happy to have that. Hi, mom. Hi, dad.
Hi, dad.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
See you.